Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Good Friday, April 18th, Hamas rejects Israel's ceasefire offer. Airstrikes on Yemen's Ras Azizah port kill nearly 60 people, and the Vatican releases Pope Francis's prepared meditations for the Via Crucis at the Colosseum. In the Vatican, I'm Deborah Castellano-Lupov. Hamas has rejected Israel's latest ceasefire proposal, stating it is ready to negotiate a deal that would secure the release of all hostages in exchange for ending the war and freeing Palestinian prisoners, Nathan Morley reports.
Hamas's chief negotiator, Khalid al-Hayya, dismissed the offer, saying that Hamas would not accept partial deals that served Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's political agenda. 59 hostages remain in captivity, with 24 believed to be alive. Israel's proposal included a 45-day ceasefire in exchange for the release of 10 hostages. On Monday, Israel's Kan TV reported that Egyptian and Qatari mediators had presented Hamas with a new deal offering the release of around 10 hostages along with a temporary truce. Hamas said at the time it was reviewing the proposal and would respond after an internal discussion. A day later, however, Hamas reported losing contact with the group holding Israeli U.S. hostage Eden Alexander after an Israeli bombardment targeted their location. On Wednesday, Mr. Netanyahu's office said he had instructed Israeli negotiators to continue steps to secure the release of remaining hostages. Meanwhile, the latest Israeli strikes killed 37 people, mostly displaced civilians living in a tent camp, according to Gaza's run civil defense agency. Witnesses in Al-Mawasi said dozens of Palestinians, including children, had died after their tents were set ablaze following a powerful explosion. After ending a two-month ceasefire, 1,691 people have been killed and 4,464 injured. That's according to Gaza's health ministry. Earlier this week, Israel said it was expanding the Morag Corridor, a new dividing line in the southern Gaza Strip, and it's turned roughly a third of the enclave into so-called security zones, which are under full Israeli military control. Israel has also blocked the entry of all humanitarian aid into Gaza since the 2nd of March. The military also said that since March the 18th, it had carried out airstrikes on around 1,200 targets in Gaza, using approximately 350 fighter jets and other aircraft. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
U.S. airstrikes on Yemen's Ras Azizah port have killed at least 58 people and injured over 120. As Francesca Merlo reports, although the U.S. says its presence in Yemen is to target Houthi rebels, the attack has resulted in one of the most deadly incidents in recent years, with many civilian casualties.
At least 58 people have been killed and over 120 more injured in U.S. airstrikes on the Ras Azizah oil port in Yemen. The strikes, which took place late on Thursday, have been described as one of the deadliest U.S. attacks on Yemeni territory in recent years. The U.S. military said the attack aimed to weaken what it called the Houthis' economic resources. In a statement, the U.S. Central Command said, "Today, U.S. forces took action to eliminate this source of fuel for the Iran-backed Houthi terrorists." However, local media reported that several strikes hit the port while workers were present. And in fact, many of the victims were employees and drivers who had been on site at the time. Residents in Sana'a reported that the strikes caused widespread destruction and panic. Ras Azizah is not only a key fuel port, but also an essential part of Yemen's infrastructure through which large quantities of goods and humanitarian aid pass. The port is one of three, along with Hodeidah and As-Salif, through which around 70% of Yemen's imports and 80% of its humanitarian aid are delivered. Its damage is likely to further impact an already extremely fragile humanitarian situation in the country. Video footage shared online by Al-Masira television shows explosions at the port, followed by scenes of rubble and injured civilians. Emergency services, including the Yemeni Red Crescent, were deployed to assist survivors and put out fires. The attack has been widely condemned inside Yemen. Houthi official Mohammed Nasser al-Atifi said that US strikes would not stop Yemeni support for Palestinians in Gaza and would instead reinforce their determination. The airstrikes come at a time of heightened tension in the region. Just hours after the attack, Israel's military reported intercepting a missile fired from Yemen. Since November 2023, the Houthis have launched more than 100 attacks on ships they say are linked to Israel. The US has warned that military action will continue unless these maritime attacks stop. As the situation escalates, aid groups and international observers are warning of further humanitarian consequences for Yemen's population, which continues to suffer the effects of nearly a decade of war. I'm Francesca Merlo.
And in other news, Holy Week this year in the Central American country of Nicaragua will be different as the government led by President Daniel Ortega has issued a ban on all celebrations and the use of fireworks leading up to Easter. Kelsey Gussie reports.
The Nicaraguan government's crackdown on Holy Week celebrations leaves no room for public Christian events in the days leading up to Easter and the days following. President Daniel Ortega has prohibited the carrying of sacred images through the streets, and large security forces have been deployed outside cathedrals. Since 2023, public processions such as those on Palm Sunday have been banned in the Central American country of Nicaragua. They can only take place strictly within church walls. This same measure will also apply to the Good Friday Stations of the Cross. And, as several priests who have been visited by police officers can confirm, those who violate the ban will be arrested. A Nicaraguan website called 100% Noticias described this inability to hold processions, which is a central part of Holy Week celebrations, as a heavy blow to the country's religious life. Likewise, it said, the ban on publicly praying about sensitive issues, such as the situation in the country, migrants, and political prisoners is seen as an attempt to silence the church's voice on matters of justice and human rights. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
Turning to the Holy Father, Pope Francis has written the meditations for the traditional Holy Friday Stations of the Cross at Rome's Colosseum. The stations, presided over this year by Cardinal Baldo Reina, on behalf of the Pope, who continues his convalescence, are an invitation to embrace God's economy in a world faced with inhuman economies built on calculation and algorithms, he suggests, cold logic and implacable interests. Linda Bordoni reports.
Pope Francis reminds us that Jesus' journey to Golgotha is first and foremost a descent towards this world that God loves. Faced with inhuman economies built on calculation and algorithms, cold logic and implacable interests, the only true change of course, he says, lies in turning back to the Saviour, who even as he hung, nailed to the cross, became the bridge between opposing parties, tearing down walls, cancelling debts, establishing reconciliation. At the heart of his message in Station 3, the Pope contrasts our profit-driven models with God's economy, which, he says, does not kill, discard or crush. It is humble, faithful to the earth. Unlike economies built on efficiency and cold logic, the divine way, the Pope continues, mirrors the Beatitudes, cultivating, repairing and protecting every life. Pope Francis calls the Stations of the Cross the prayer of people on the move, a prayer that disrupts daily routines and rekindles compassion. When we follow Jesus step by step, acknowledging our own failures, rising after each fall, sharing the burdens of others, we discover that gratuitous love blossoms anew, fractured communities can heal, arid faith can be revived, and the hearts of stone can become flesh. From Jesus' unjust condemnation to his final breath, Christ exemplifies the dramatic interplay of our freedoms, the Pope notes. Even in chains, he chooses love, interceding for those crucifying him. Christ's example, the Pope continues, urges us to break free from roles we refuse to abandon, to refuse complicity in injustice, and to forgive those who do not know what they're doing. Finally, in the silence of Holy Saturday, Christ resting in the tomb teaches us to wait. To do nothing when only waiting is required, like Joseph of Arimathea, who continue to hope, we too are called to courageous anticipation, believing that even in apparent defeat, the New Jerusalem is already on the rise. I'm Linda Bordoni.
And elsewhere this Easter Triduum, in their respective Easter messages, the Ecumenical Patriarch of Constantinople, Bartholomew, and the World Council of Churches draw upon the spiritual and historical significance of the First Ecumenical Council of Nicaea 1,700 years ago in order to emphasize unity and their shared tradition, further highlighted this year by the common celebration of Easter, Lisa Zingarini reports.
The Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew of Constantinople has focused his Easter reflection this year on the celebration of the 17th centenary of the First Ecumenical Council of Nicaea, which in 325 set forth the core Christian beliefs about the triune nature of God in the Creed. The message underscores that the celebration of this landmark anniversary is not a return to the past, but rather a reminder of the spirit of Nicaea that continues to animate the Church's life and mission today. The spirit, the Patriarch writes, entails fidelity to the conciliar identity and a shared responsibility to guard against distortions of the Christian faith. A key element in this year's Easter celebration is its shared observance by both Eastern and Western branches of Christianity. According to Patriarch Bartholomew, this coincidence is more than symbolic. It is a testament to the enduring legacy of Nicaea, which not only standardized the calculation of Easter, but also shifted ecclesial governance from a local to an ecumenical and synodal model. This historical movement towards unity and conciliar decision-making, he notes, is echoed in the current push for synodality, a concept equally cherished by Pope Francis. The significance for Christian unity of the Council of Nicaea and of the common celebration of Easter this year is also highlighted by the World Council of Churches. In its Easter message, the ecumenical body challenges churches to make this shared Easter norm in the future. As the Church prepares to celebrate the resurrection of Christ, the message invites Christians to embrace their time, their world, and one another, striving always towards the day when true unity is realized. In a world where despair often feels stronger than hope and fragmentation is more visible than fellowship, the message says, the Church is called to witness boldly, joyfully, in one accord. I am Lisa Zingarini.
Justin, referring to the report that Francesca Merlo had done on Yemeni oil port, the airstrikes have, according to AP, now killed at least 74 people. And in other Vatican news, in an interview with the Italian newspaper La Repubblica, Cardinal Secretary of State Cardinal Pietro Parolin spoke about the ongoing conflict in Ukraine and Gaza, as well as the role of multilateralism, and he highlighted the critical importance of dialogue for Vatican diplomacy, reiterating that peace cannot be imposed but is built patiently with mutual respect. He said the Holy See is very concerned about the risk of an escalation of the conflict in Ukraine, which he said would cause further suffering and new victims, while also recognizing that it would be inhumane to deny Ukrainians the right to defend themselves. He noted that as Pope Francis has repeatedly reminded us, peace cannot be imposed. And the Holy See is expressing appreciation for any initiative that could lead toward peace, given the war, he said, cannot go on. And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. Be sure to stay with us for all of the Easter events ahead in the Vatican. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.